Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. This is an exciting week. It's the first week of our Lenten fast. It's hard to believe it's Friday already. The Lenten fast, however, is a long fast. It culminates April 24th for Eastern Orthodox churches. Of course, a week earlier than that for most churches that are Western in nature. This year is going by so incredibly fast. Time is so seductive. On the one hand, it seems to go by slowly. On the other hand, it just races by. I'm amazed that this is the first year I'm actually going to attempt to do the entire Lenten fast. Over the last few years, having gone through mantle cell lymphoma, it's been difficult to participate in the Lenten fast. So I'm seeing this as a great opportunity. I mentioned on yesterday's broadcast that the great Cappadocian fathers talked about fasting, about how people get absorbed with filling up and then getting weighed down, falling into ill health. But those who are well-equipped, light, and truly nourished avoid the prospect in so many cases of serious disease. They are, by analogy, like a boat in stormy weather that goes right over dangerous rocks. Not only that, but to those who are traveling, fasting is a very favorable traveling partner. While luxury forces them to bear burdens by carrying their enjoyments around, fasting prepares them to be light and unencumbered. St. Basil talked about fasting with characteristic humor. He said that the stomach should give a vacation to the mouth. It never stops demanding. And what it takes in today, well, it's forgotten tomorrow. Whenever it is filled, it philosophizes about abstinence. Whenever it is emptied, it forgets those opinions. I remember Walter Martin, who founded the Christian Research Institute, often said that it was foolish to dig a grave with our own knives and forks. A full belly not only makes running a race difficult, as St. Basil put it, it even makes sleep tough. When you're weighed down completely and you can't find a way to rest, you're forced instead to continually turn from side to side. How often I have done that. The stomach is very much like an undisciplined child. It forever demands its fill of empty calories. But the discipline of fasting restores balance and self-control. A person fasting, said St. Basil, has a gentle eye. This is so beautiful. He said, has a gentle eye, a calm gait, and a thoughtful face. There's no intemperate, arrogant laughter, but rather fitting speech and purity of heart. Remember the saints of old, of whom the world was not worthy, who went around in sheepskins, in goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. Remember their mode of life. If indeed you are seeking after the same inheritance as them. Are we not? St. Paul said, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I've kept the faith. Wherever fasting takes you, it's crucial to remain mindful of the purposes for practicing abstinence. There are four that I put in my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. In fact, I developed into an acronym, the acronym FAST. Forgiveness, almsgiving, supplication, and transformation, F-A-S-T, FAST. First of all, forgiveness. As we fast, we are continually to seek forgiveness from sin. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just. He will forgive us our sins, and He will purify us from all unrighteousness. Almsgiving. In fasting, we intuitively consider the needs of others. Not only that, but our responsibility to give alms to the poor. I tell you the truth, said Jesus, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. And then supplication, the S in the acronym FAST. Almsgiving is inextricably woven together with fasting, but so too are our prayers and our supplications. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us, and if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of Him. And then finally, the T in the acronym FAST, transformation. We fast so that we might be transformed or transfigured, as it were, in the manner of Peter, James, and John. As St. Basil so wonderfully exhorted, anoint your head with a holy oil so that you may be a partaker of Christ, and then go forth to fast. Appetites pleasure the body. Abstinence, however, gives wings to the spirit so that we may ascend, as it were, to the Mount of Transfiguration and there discover communion with God as the very apex of life. Listen to this. Living disciplines like fasting characterize the life of Christ. And so too, they must characterize ours. Every year, millions make confessions of faith, but there's always a problem. Their habits of life are appreciably the same after conversion as they were before. Why is that? It is because of the accumulated deposits of life experiences that remain entrenched in their embodied selves. They have the desire to do what is good, but they simply cannot carry it out. You know, Peter's the quintessential example. He vowed never to forsake his Lord. And yet when a young woman wondered whether he followed Caesar or he was a follower of Christ, he renounced the Master with vile oaths. He swore he had no personal knowledge of the very one he had previously announced as the Christ, the Son of the living God. Preservation of life and limb overwhelmed his better intentions. And that's the same problem we face in the cauldron of adversity. We may have correct inner beliefs, yet lacking a full measure of the authentic Christian life, we stumble in the moment of truth. How different our Lord. When the Pharisees and the teachers of the law threatened to undo him, he exhibited an otherworldly calm, a peace in the midst of the storm. That peace is accessible to you and me as well. "My peace I give you," said Jesus. And the words of our Lord highlight a glorious truth. The peace manifested by Jesus may be actualized in our life, not by asking what Jesus would do in this or that circumstance, but by doing what Jesus did throughout the entirety of our lives. That, dear friend, is the role of spiritual disciplines, like the one we've been talking about all week. The spiritual discipline of fasting. When we come back from the break, I want to continue on with this theme as the end is resurrection.
The miraculous resurrection of Jesus did more than reverse the order of sin and death that plagues humanity. It inaugurated a whole new order of being. Yet many believers are ill-equipped to provide persuasive, credible answers to unbelievers who consider the central event of Christianity nothing more than mythological nonsense. Professor Paul Meyer's DVD, The Week That Changed the World, lays out the solid, verifiable evidence of history and archaeology that demonstrates the fact of Christ's resurrection from the dead. Receive The Week That Changed the World as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will return in just a few moments. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. The resurrection is without question the most important event in human history. Why? The resurrection astonishingly did more than miraculously reverse the order of sin and death that plagues humanity. It inaugurated a whole new order of being for us and for the universe. Unfortunately, far too many people, believers and unbelievers alike, fail to grasp the enormous implications of this event. To strengthen your faith and equip you to provide credible answers to questions concerning the death and resurrection of Christ, the Christian Research Institute is offering the documentary film on DVD, The Week That Changed the World, featuring historian Paul Meyer. Receive The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches.
888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. All this week I've been focused on fasting because this is the first week of the Lenten fast, which culminates April 24 for the Eastern calendar and April 17 for the Western calendar. Wherever fasting takes you, I hope that the process will not be perfunctory, but rather that it will be spiritually enriching. Over this last week, I've given you examples from Scripture, examples of the great luminaries of the Bible who called us to fasting. Of course, the apex is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who called us to fast. He called us to pray, to give alms, and to fast. And he said, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites. They disfigure their faces to show men they're fasting. Don't be like that. Do it in secret. And then your heavenly Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. I've also talked about the great saints who took the time to equip us with this vital discipline, a discipline that is so lacking in the modern Christian world. I gave you examples from even American history where a president like Abraham Lincoln called the people that were divided to fast during the time of the Civil War. And then I gave you an acronym. Just before the break, I talked about four things that immediately spring to mind: forgiveness, almsgiving, supplication, and transformation. Collectively, they spell the word fast. Forgiveness, of course, is paramount. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just. He will forgive. He will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Almsgiving. Remember, Jesus said, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. Supplication. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of Him. And then transformation. Anoint your head with a holy oil so that you may be a partaker of Christ. And then, so anointed, go forth to fast. Appetites pleasure the body. Abstinence, fasting, well, gives wings to the Spirit so that we can ascend to the Mount of Transfiguration and there discover what we all long for, communion with God, which is the apex of life. Well, where will this fast lead us? It will inevitably lead us to Holy Week. And the apex of Holy Week is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's just not what I think. That's precisely what the Apostle Paul said. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 15? This is the quintessential passage on resurrection, where St. Paul says, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By the way, here he's talking about a received tradition. He's passing on what was done before. He says, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you believed in vain. And then he says this, what I received, I passed on to you as of second importance. No, he didn't say that. He said, as of of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, what St. Paul does is make a four-part argument for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So what we are headed towards as we celebrate Pascha or Easter is not something we believe through blind faith, but rather something that we hold to because it is rooted in history and evidence. So St. Paul says this, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. The fatal torment of Jesus Christ is not something that we think might have happened, but something that is rooted in evidence. Very few today even doubt that evidence, even those who are firmly opposed to Jesus Christ concede that he was crucified. There are outliers, like the Muslims, for example, who say, no, Christ really wasn't crucified. God made someone look like Jesus, and the lookalike was crucified in place of Jesus. But those are exceptions. Exceptions that go against the weight of evidence, history and evidence. So Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. That's the first argument that St. Paul makes. And then he says that Jesus Christ was buried. And by the way, not buried in an obscure tomb. He was buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea and as a Sanhedrin on the court that condemned Jesus Christ to death. Joseph of Arimathea is unlikely to be Christian fiction. But that tomb was never venerated. Why? Because the relics of Christ were not there to be venerated. Holy men were always venerated. Even after death, their relics were venerated. If anyone's relics would have been venerated, they would have been the relics of Jesus Christ, but no, they were not. Why? Because the tomb was empty. Christianity cannot survive an identifiable tomb containing the corpse of Christ. So Jesus Christ suffered fatal torment, and the tomb was empty. And then, says St. Paul, Jesus appeared. He appeared to Peter. He appeared to the 12. And then he appeared to 500 of the brothers, most of whom, says St. Paul, are still living and available for cross-examination if necessary, most of whom are still living, though some have died. And then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and then, says St. Paul, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. So Jesus suffered fatal torment. The tomb was empty, and he appeared and gave convincing proofs that he was alive, that he had overcome death and the grave. And as a result of that, transformation. And Paul uses his own life as an example. He says that he is the least of the apostles and does not even deserve to be called an apostle because he persecuted the church of God. And then he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me, whether then it was I or they. This is what we preach, and this is what you believed. Again, not believed through blind faith, but rather believed through faith in irrefutable fact. And the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead is the absolute assurance that you and I, too, will rise immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. We will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we will take on immortal, imperishable, incorruptible bodies. as we learn and grow and develop forever. Forever exploring God's created handiwork, now recreated, resurrected, as it were, just as our bodies are resurrected. And we will also forever explore the ineffable, a journey that has no end, for God is beyond all full comprehension. Vladimir Lasky once said that Christian theology is in the last resort a means. It's a unity of knowledge subserving an end that transcends all knowledge. And that ultimate end is union with God, deification, or as St. Peter put it, becoming partakers of the divine nature. Our Lenten fast leads toward the reality of resurrection, utter transformation, an eternity with the one who first overcame death and the grave. So long for now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.